So again, I would give you a warm welcome this evening. Perhaps it's your first time in the hall. We do trust that we'll speak plain enough that you'll understand God's terms for you this evening. Now let's turn the Bibles to Romans chapter 10. Romans in chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, and we're going to read verse number 13. Romans 10 and verse 13. Said Romans 10 and verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now, no disrespect to the scriptures, but we just want this verse to stick out in your mind, even when you go home this evening, and we trust you'll turn to it. Maybe if you're not saved, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." We trust that God will add a rich blessing to this reading this evening. You know, within this verse we are invited to pray. We're invited to call upon the name of the Lord. And what's going to be the subject of our prayer this evening is that we'll recognize that we are lost and we need to be saved. And says our text, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Well, you might ask, why do I need to be saved? Well, it's very obvious that the opposite of being saved is lost. Lost. Lost, eh? You think of that this evening. We were on the holiday just as a family. Well, not my personal family now, but my mum and dad and my brother and I were on holiday one year, and we went away to Fraserburgh. That was possibly a trip we took many, many years. And of course, when we were up there, it was quite a haul to get there. We used to go with my public transport, and we would leave the house possibly about 7 o'clock in the morning, and my dad would home freeze Casey down to Falkirk, which was a 3-mile walk. And under normal circumstances, quite a trek, but, you know, carrying cases and all the luggage. And we would end up with the ride in Falkirk, and we would get on a bus, and we would make for Fraserburgh. A limited stop bus up to Aberdeen, and then the local bus from Aberdeen up to Fraserburgh. And we would arrive about 5 o'clock in the evening. We would have our tea, and as our custom was, I can't even remember ever questioning this, but we went to the prayer meeting on the Saturday evening up in Fraserburgh. And the atmosphere in the meeting was very somber that evening. It was quite a stormy evening, and there was a fishing boat outside the harbour. And it couldn't get into the harbour because of the direction of the wind. And you know, there was about 9 seamen on board that fishing boat. And I think a lifeboat got out for them, and the lifeboat couldn't get in either, it couldn't get back into the harbour. And that fishing boat, that night, was the subject of our prayers in the prayer meeting. I was only just a young fella, possibly not even saved, up there with my short trousers, you know, just a young man, young boy. But this stood out in my mind. You know, as these folk, as they lifted this matter to God in prayer, they were thinking about these folk out in the stormy bay. And you know, I think I must have fell asleep that evening, thinking about these men out there. Well, I had a comfortable bed. They were out there, just rocking about on the waves. I think I wakened in the morning with these thoughts in my mind as well. What would we hear this morning? Would we hear that the fishermen had been saved, had they been rescued? And of course we got to the meeting that Sunday morning just to hear that the same conditions prevailed and they were still out there. And all through the day there was a mood over the whole town. A sombering mood. as that fishing boat and the lifeboat crew were out there, still out on the waves, still out in the storm. We went to sleep that evening, possibly with the same thoughts in our mind. And then the next day, next morning, we went up and there was still no word of the boat getting in. We went to sleep that Monday evening with the same thoughts. Would it be saved that evening? Would it be saved that night? And of course it wasn't. And I think it was through to the Wednesday before we heard that the boat had gone down with the loss of all lives. Lost, eh? You know, that brought a dreadful atmosphere to the town, you know, that all these fishermen were lost. And I think the lifeboat went down as well. All were lost. Lost. Now, you all were saying it was physical loss in that case. But what we're saying about in Romans chapter 10 is eternal loss. Spiritual loss, eh? And what does that mean? That just means that you'll never be in heaven. That your eternal destiny will be hell and hell forever. In that place where there is weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Eh? Loss. You know, what a dreadful atmosphere was across the town of Bethlehem. And yet many of them might have been saved eternally. And from that wreck of that boat, they might have gone up to heaven, and some of these souls should have trusted in the Lord before that point. But you know, they were all physically lost. We just like to point out to you this evening how you can be saved. Not saved physically, but saved eternally. And saved not only for time, but for the long-lasting years of an eternal future. And how do we get it? Well, here's how we get it. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever. You think of that word this evening. That whosoever, that doesn't exclude anybody. We're all included within that word, whosoever. You know, had it mentioned my name, had it mentioned a bully bar shall call upon the name of the Lord, you know, I might have wondered what Willie Barr was it that it was speaking about, because I've discovered there's one or two who bear the same name as myself. It doesn't say that, it says whosoever. And that includes all. Includes the very youngest in our meeting this evening. I don't know where the youngest would be. You know, I remember I trusted in the Saviour when I was 10 years old. I remember standing on a gospel platform one evening and saying, was there any other 10-year-olds in the meeting? And so I was offering them the same hope of salvation. And a hand went up and he said, I'm 10, but I'm not saved. Not saved. Here's how you can be saved this evening. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Maybe you are saved this evening. Well, you should lift your heart to God and thank Him. Thank Him that He has saved you. But you know, it also includes the oldest. My mother-in-law, she was not a sinner. That was her language. She went through life and mind you. I think she proved to all on Sunday that she was a sinner. But you know, she wasn't a sinner in her own eyes. And 6 weeks before she died, she was lying in the hospital. We went into the hospital, and she said to my wife, she said, I should have done it years ago. And I could have enjoyed it. She realized the kind of life that her daughter had lived. And she said, I could have enjoyed it. But she said, I'm too late. Well, my wife had a good chat to her that evening. She wondered why I wasn't entering the conversation. I said, you were doing a good job yourself, and you know, I was sitting there praying for you around that day. And she got the opportunity for about half an hour, 35 minutes, to speak to her about how to be saved. She told her about the dying priest and how he was upon the cross, just a few hours away from death, and he got saved. Well, anyway, She said, well, that's enough. I've had enough. I'll think about that. We weren't allowed to speak about it again. She went out of hospital, and then she was readmitted. And you know, the second place she was in, my wife said, I must ask her, did she do anything about that matter? And this is what she said. She said, I've done it. My wife said, well, what did you do? She said, I just did what you would have done. Well, that would be a very, very clear testimony to us anyway. But anyway, the following 6 weeks until she died, proved that she was saved. You know, we often speak about proofs of salvation. The dying thief didn't have the opportunity to prove he was saved. But my wife's mother, she had the opportunity. So, you know, it includes the oldest and the very youngest, whosoever. You know, richest or poorest, you don't need any money in your pocket to get saved. And you don't need to be able to do anything. Dying thief, he couldn't do anything. The one of the Lord had come down and says, you keep the law. The man would have been absolutely bereft of any kind of hope. It's not keeping the law. It's not trying your best. It's not, you have no input into the salvation business. You know, here's what you do, you call upon the name of the Lord. And even from the cross, that thief could call. You can call this evening. They say it's the first time that the child heard his calls. And the last thing that anybody does before they go out into eternity is to just call. You know, maybe you wouldn't have the ability to move your limbs. Maybe something has happened to you and you know you're not able to do anything. But you know, you can still call. And says the Bible, whosoever. And that includes all. And that includes the youngest and the oldest, it includes the richest and the poorest, and it includes all. It includes the king upon the throne, and it includes the beggar who's sitting in Prince's Street in Edinburgh tonight. It includes all. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You think of the simplicity of it. Shall call. Shall call. Not one of us that has been called, eh? Has been called for someone. Aye. But you know, we're going to call upon the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord, it's He and He alone that can save. Not a case of calling to your mother or your father. Not a case of calling to the minister or the priest. It's calling upon this specific person, the Lord Jesus. And says the Bible, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You think of the subject of the prayer, you know, it's upon the name of the Lord. And you think of the simplicity of it, shall be saved. My friend this evening, I'm not speaking in language that is a way over your heads this evening. I have deliberately chosen this verse to speak on. I've chosen it for, well, I don't know why, but the Lord has placed it on my heart. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, there's three examples in the Bible of folk who called upon the name of the Lord. And I just want to bring them briefly before you this evening. You know, there was a woman one day and she lived away on the periphery of Israel. She lived away in a place which was called Tyre and Sidon. Sometimes we speak about her as the Syrophoenician woman. And she lived away from the buzz of things. She lived away out on the outskirts. And you know, she had a daughter, and her daughter was grievously ill. And one day the Lord Jesus, he took a long journey away up to where she was and where she went. And as he was going up there, you know, folk might have said, you know, why not go to where the population's heaviest? Why don't you go where, you know, great need is to be felt? But the Savior had this burden to go up to this place away up in the north, west of the country. So he went up there. And he met this woman And this woman was in such a distraught state of mind. This is what she said. She said to him, "Lord, Lord, help me." This is what the Lord said to her. You know, the Lord was, he was obviously testing her, proving her, proving that her faith was real. He said, "Look, woman, it is not for me to give the food that the Jews should be eating to the Gentiles." Now, let me just explain that just for a moment. You know, the Jews, they were considered God's chosen people. And so they are, and there's a great future for the nation of Israel, even tonight. Although they don't even believe it themselves, they will one day come to realize who the Lord Jesus is. But you know, this Gentile woman, this is the Gentiles were the other group of folk. They were the non-Jews. They were the folk that didn't really come into the Lord's earlier ministry. You know, the Lord, he had this mission to reach out to the Jewish people. And so he said to this woman, he said, "You're only a Gentile." He said, it's not neat that we should give the food to Gentile dogs. And the woman was so engrossed in her desire to see her daughter help that she wouldn't let him go. She kept on pleading. She kept on wanting him to help her. Until eventually he did. My friend this evening is a wonderful Savior. You might think, "I'm not worthy to be saved," as this woman possibly was reminded of. But you know, she just kept on pleading, kept on desiring that the Savior draw near and help her. And he did. What a Savior he is this evening. You know, there are folk whom, well, the Savior said one day, let me just remind you of this. And he was saying to the Jewish people, he said, and you know, they were all rejecting him. This is what he said. He said, "They shall come from the north and the south, and they'll come from the east and from the west." And this was the sad indictment that he said over these folk who were living so close to him, "And ye yourselves cast out." So there's something desperate about those words. He was saying to those Jewish people who were so privileged to live beside the Savior of the world, to live beside the one who could bring them salvation. If they just looked at him and saw their needs and came to him and asked for forgiveness, you know, he would have done it. It was so natural to him to do it. And yet, did any wonder? And he said, "There'll be Eskimos in heaven. And there'll be folk from the far-flung corners of Lapland and Greenland and so on. And there'll be folk from the south, there'll be folk from, well, you could maybe say the darkest Africa, eh? And there'll be folk from illiterate backgrounds, and there'll be folk from backgrounds that, you know, never ever thought there was a hope of salvation." And he says, "One day they'll hear the message," and he says, "they'll come from these particular areas." So this was his judgment upon them. "And ye yourselves cast out." You know, we have a wonderful opportunity this evening of hearing the message and hearing how it's possible to be saved and hearing how you can be saved. And here's what the Bible says: "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You know, thank God that woman, she kept at the thing. And she kept at the pleading. And eventually the Savior, he healed her daughter. There was another man. He was one of the Lord's disciples. And he was in a situation one day. They were out on the Sea of Galilee. And the Sea of Galilee, it can just be inflamed. And it can just rise like a mighty storm. And it did that day. And you know, the little boat they were on was just being swung about and rocked about with this mighty storm. And you know, one of those disciples who were looking at the storm, and you know, one of them saw this person coming toward them. And you know, they must have just thought, well, they did say it is a spirit. They thought it was a spirit that was coming towards them. And then eventually, the folk in the boat, they recognized it was the Lord. So what did Peter do? Brave Peter. He's braver than me. I would have got out of the boat. But this is what Peter did. He sat down on the rail of the boat and he threw one leg over. And then he threw the other leg over. And you know, I don't know what the other disciples were doing, but you know, they must have been trying to dissuade him in some way. Look, Peter, don't be daft, man. Anyway, he started to walk upon the water. It was quite a miraculous feat of faith. But anyway, he took his eyes off the Lord and they started to sink. And he wouldn't just up to the ankles or up to the knees. The Bible makes it plain that he was just ready for his head to go under, maybe up to here, or maybe up higher. And this is what he cried. He recognized that the Lord could do something about it. He recognized that he could bring him salvation. He recognized that he could save him from going down to that watery grave. And this is what he said, Lord, save me. Oh, what does our text say? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And immediately, the Lord stretched out his hand and saved Peter. You know, there was an evangelist who used to preach. Well, he was an American evangelist, but he came over to Britain. I think he came over three times. Dale Mooney. A mighty evangelist. Not, he didn't have a mighty intellect. He was just he just worked in a shoe shop selling shoes. But you know, he dedicated himself to the Lord and he became a mighty preacher. And this is what he says about that verse. He says, you put Lord at one side of the verse, and you put me at the other side of the verse. And what's the connecting one? Faith. There's the Lord in all his majesty, and in all his might, and all his tremendous power. And there's weak and feeble me at the other side. How do you like it said? Well, to put it in the language of Romans 10 and verse 13. There's only 13 words in that verse, by the way, in the English anyway. He just said, Lord, I just said, Lord, save me. And what a mighty thing happened that night. When I got saved, I felt like the proverbial cow. I felt like I could have jumped over the moon going home that night. So light. All my sins gone. Everything now washed away. All my wrongdoings. Because I just called upon the name of the Lord. That's just how it's done. You know, God has written in his book these simple words. And all we need to do is pay attention to them this evening and trust in these words, Lord, save me, and you'll get the same salvation. Oh, it won't be salvation from a watery grave as Peter's was. You know, you'll get eternal salvation. You'll get the salvation that is an offer through calling upon the name of the Lord. There's another man, and he's hanging upon a cross this time. Like there's three men hanging on crosses. But he's hanging on one of the outside crosses. And the other man who's hanging on the other outside cross, it does say this at the beginning of that crucifixion scene. And, you know, it must have been a painful, painful experience. But as this man, as he hangs there, he thinks to himself, he says, I've only got a wee while to go. And I'm shortly running out to meet God. And if I go out in the condition in which I am, I'm going to be damned forever. That's what you must have thought. You know, the both of them at the beginning of that experience, they both were throwing insults at the Lord Jesus Christ, just as the folk around the cross were. They were all occupied in this business of railing and jibing and insulting the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the man who hung on one side of the Savior, this is what he said to the Lord. As he came to realize that the man who was hanging on the middle cross, that is the Lord Jesus, but he was sinless. He would be dying for his own sins. You know, that's the reason we do die. We die because of him, because we're sinners. By one man, sin entered into the world and death by sin. That's why we die. But you know, death didn't have that claim upon the Lord Jesus, because he was sinless and holy and pure. And so he realizes, I don't know whether he could look round at the Lord Jesus, but if he could, you know, he's never looking and he's saying, that man's different. He's not swearing and cursing like the rest of us. He's not insulting the authorities. As he looked at the Lord Jesus, he said this. He was a special revelation from heaven, Gabriel, I believe. And he came to realize that this was the Lord Jesus Christ. And upon the cross, he just said, Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. What did the Lord Jesus do? They say, you're too bad. Oh, you went it rather late. You can't be saved now. That's what the devil would try and throw into our minds this evening. You know, I'll be saved, but not tonight, as the hymn writer says. But listen to this, my friend. This is what the Lord Jesus said. To the man who said, Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. Strange place for a king to be is upon a cross. And it was strange as well that the Lord Jesus knew that after he died, he was coming back again to set up a kingdom. You know, he had remarkable faith. In fact, I think it's Scorpio that says, and his Bible says, this is the greatest display of faith in the New Testament. You know, I heard the preacher say one day that he'll make right for the dying thief when he gets to heaven, just to ask him what it was that changed his mind. Well, anyway, the Lord Jesus said to him, today, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Paradise for an old thief. You know, the folk of Jerusalem are saying, well, but rather than my last. But the Lord Jesus says, I've got a place for you. It's paradise. And an old English preacher called J.C. Ryle, he said, he imagines the scene when the dying thief and the Lord Jesus are walking home to him. And they're walking up towards the golden gates, and the angels are looking out and they're saying, who's that man with the Lord Jesus? Who is he? And Mr. Rail, he must have had a vivid imagination. Anyway, he said, it may be one of the disciples. It may be one of his favourite disciples. Maybe one of the apostles. He says, Mr. Rail. He says, as soon as the man got close enough, he says, it's your own thief. It's your own thief that died to save him. And how's that man in heaven? Who's that man in paradise? Because he just called upon the name of the Lord. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is a special verse to me. Special verse for this. Not that I got saved through it, but we pitched a tent in Pullman, the place where I live. There's no evangelical witness there. And we pitched this tent for 4 years, for 4 weeks each year. And this was the last night of this series of meetings, and there was a man standing outside the tent, and he noticed I had a black fingernail. He said, this must be a working man just like myself. I'm mistaken. He goes, anyway, he said, I'll speak to him. So he said to me, he said, I've been putting the drinking. I've got rid of the drinking, I've got rid of the smoking, I've got rid of, and it was a Paul Pierre, an MC at different, well, disrespectful occasions, you know, he was in a club, in the clubs. And he said, I've got rid of all that. He said, but I'm still not safe. And I said to him that night, I says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I told them the story about the shepherd going out in search of the sheep. It's told in the Bible, it's in Luke chapter 15. It's a lovely story. He said, how did the shepherd know where to go? Because the shepherd would keep his ear to the ground and he'd be listening for the baaing of the sheep. Maybe did he hear it the first time, nor the second time, nor the third time, he put his ear to the ground. But you know, eventually he would hear the feeble cry of the sheep. And he would go in the direction of it. And you know, when he found that sheep, he put it on his shoulders. And he carried it all the way home. My friend this evening, that's like the Lord Jesus. You might be scared, you might keep your salvation after you get it. You don't need to keep it, because the Lord Jesus, you're upon his shoulders. As soon as you get this salvation, you go under his shoulder and he just takes you all the way home. Takes you through H-O-N-E, home. That's the place we all long to be, is home. Home on earth, but you know, for some of us, we've got a new dimension to home. Home is heaven. And that's where we all long to be, is home in heaven. In that paradise of God. What's the alternative? What's the alternative? The alternative is not to call heaven. The alternative is just to, well, say, I'll find my own way. I'll get home somewhere. No, if that's your kind of thinking, let me tell you. If your kind of thinking is misguided, you know, one of these days, you're waking up in hell for all eternity. My friend, this evening, we're offering you, through the words of the Bible, this evening, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, again we lift our hearts to thee. We do rejoice in thy greatness. For God, what a salvation thou hast provided. That we who are so guilty and unworthy and don't even deserve a second look from thee. For God, the fact that the Son of God has come into this world. For God, he could have obliterated this world as soon as sin entered. But of God, the fact that in love and in kindness for us, he found a way whereby we might not be expelled from thee forever. And oh God, we praise thee for the joy that we have of just knowing that one of these days we're going to be with thee in that eternal home of heaven. We offer thee our thanks again for the gospel this evening. Pray thy rich blessing upon it. We pray that there might be nobody in our meeting this evening who might go from it still unprepared. And still unwilling to call upon the name of the Lord. We offer our thanks to thee for this lovely message and pray that someone might get it in the meeting this evening. We offer our thanks to thee and ask thy special blessing in the valued name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There is a hymn that I'd just like if we could maybe close with. It's 759 and it's sung through The Life of My Life, Blessed Saviour. I think maybe Stephen opened up the book there. What hinders your coming to Jesus? 759. What hinders your coming today? He offers the grace of his pardon. Tell Jesus what stands in the way. We'll sing with these verses. Sing them thoughtfully and prayerfully. And we trust that you'll find the Saviour this evening. If you haven't found him as yet, he's a wonderful Saviour. Great to be saved. I know your sins, sucker.
Thank you.